With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
From my conversion until I step into glory, I have to know the Christian life is learned. It's not what do I think, what do I imagine, what is my intuition, what is my conscience saying, what does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God tell me when the breath of God blows? And I begin to find out that when the breath of God blows and the winds come through with such frightening ferocity, how is God speaking?
Welcome and stay with us as Dr. Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Dr. Harry Reeder brings us part two of the message entitled, God's Call to Grow, Our Ministry of Disciple Making, as we conclude our series, The Ecclesia, God's Church for the Ages. You will never graduate from college or make the necessary strides in your education if you never take anything more advanced than introductory 100-level courses. Well, if you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, you can't stay in Christianity 101. You need to move on to 200, 300, and 400-level courses, continually striving toward your Ph.D. in Christ-like love, godliness, faithfulness, and service. Sadly, too many churches and Christians are settling for a non-stop kindergarten diet of milk and cookies rather than moving on to the solid meat of God's Word. How can the church truly follow God's call to grow through an effective ministry of disciple-making? If you're following along in the scriptures, turn to Acts chapter 2, and verses 42 through 47. Here again is Harry Reeder with part two of the message, God's Call to Grow, Our Ministry of Disciple Making.
2 Timothy chapter 2, look with me in verses 1 and 2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, what is he saying in this text? Well, just let me give you briefly five observations. The first thing is this. He is reminding us that the Christian life is learned. The Christian life is not known by intuition. The Christian life is not known by intuition or by imagination. In fact, here's one I hear Christians say all the time. It's kind of a bumper sticker thing, but like most bumper stickers, it's wrong. Let your conscience be your guide. Wrong. The fact that you and I have a conscience shows that we're made in the image of God. We know there's right and there's wrong. But our conscience can be misinformed. Our conscience can be misguided. Our conscience can be seared and calloused. It is the Word that is our guide. And that Bible that you and I own, that many people died for you to have in your own language, that we have so readily available, it doesn't give us the consistent Christian life because we buy it and put it on our coffee table and it sends out vibrations as if it's a magic book. That's why Paul said in this same text, chapter 2, in just a few verses, he'll say to Timothy, study to show yourself approved, a worker, a workman in the truth that does not need to be ashamed before the Lord. The Christian life is learned from conversion to glory. Harry, when can I stop learning? When you step into heaven. In fact, I'll tell you the truth, I don't think you're going to stop learning then. I think we're going to learn in heaven. I think eternity, we're going to learn. Say, Harry, for all eternity, when I run out of stuff? No, you're going to learn about God. And He is unfathomable. So you're going to be able to learn for all eternity. And now we're learning as we move into eternity. And what does it mean to do this learning? Why is it so? We had to learn to be converted. See, I had to learn. I'm a sinner. Let me tell you what's all wrong. The problem with my life is not that they didn't have enough streetlights in my neighborhood when I was growing up. The problem was not that I had an alcoholic father or an alcoholic mother or that I was born in poverty. All of those things certainly become opportunities and temptations and influences, but I've got a problem. I'm a sinner because I was born a sinner. I don't sin and become a sinner. I was born a sinner and I'm going to sin. Now, is there any hope given the fact I've also learned from the Bible the wages of sin is death? The Bible tells me, let me give you the diagnosis, Harry. Your problem is not an educational problem directly. You've got a heart problem. Now, here is what the Word of God says to you about the remedy from the heart. God has loved you. God, who is holy, who will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, has sent His Son to remove your sin and your guilt and give you a new record and a new heart so you can be right with me. I had to learn that. I had to be saved how? I had to be saved by faith, right? How are you saved? For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How did I get faith from God? You said, Harry, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Right. But I also got faith because of this. Faith comes by hearing. I had to learn. And hearing the Word of Christ. From my conversion until I step into glory, I have to know the Christian life is learned. It's not what do I think, what do I imagine, what is my intuition, what is my conscience saying, what does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God tell me when the breath of God blows? And I begin to find out that when the breath of God blows, and the winds come through with such frightening ferocity. How is God speaking? Of course, we always want simple answers, and God keeps telling us, no, I'm pretty much multifaceted. I'm sending judgment. I'm sending salvation. I'm sending a message of comfort. I'm opening a door for ministry. I'm shutting some doors of ministry. I'm doing all these multiple things, but you can't know it unless you know me. And you can't know me except by my word. And therefore, we are learners. Now, that means if the Christian life is learned, that brings me to the second point, that the Christian life is therefore lived by those who are intentional learners, that we are intentionally learning. Isn't it interesting that when you take Paul's relationship just with Timothy, or let's just back up for a minute. What did it say? It said they were. Remember back in Acts 2:42, they were continually devoted to the apostles' teaching. It was intentional. I love the moment where Paul is talking with Timothy and he says, continue in what you have learned, knowing from whom you have learned it, and that from childhood you have known salvation through the sacred words. You've been given the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That the Christian life is learned. Therefore, if the Christian life is learned, if I'm a Christian, I want to be an intentional learner. Not a haphazard learner. Not a drive-by learner. An intentional learner. I have a challenge in this, about this learning, because my daddy told me something about learning. He said to me, he said, son, I don't know whether you're going to learn or not. He said, but there's one time in life I know. There's a time in everyone's life when you know you're not learning something. And I said, when's that, Daddy? He said, it's when you're talking. Now, that's the one time you know you're not learning something, is when you're talking. So can I intentionally be quiet and listen and ask and secure a teacher and get a book and read the book of life intentionally, continuing steadfastly, devoted to the apostles' teaching, continuing in what you have learned, knowing from whom you have learned them. When I was when I share my testimony with people, I always trying to find a way to get attention, and I don't like to talk about my unsaved life as an attention getter because I just am so ashamed of the way I lived and its influence upon other people. So here's the way I try to do it this way. I usually get attention when I do this. I say, I want y'all to know I was saved out of a drug problem. And everybody listen. Oh, preacher was a druggie, huh? Yeah, I saved out of a drug problem. And when I got their attention, I'll tell them, my daddy and mama drugged me to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. There was no time we'd get up in the morning, daddy'd say, okay, children, where do y'all want to go to church? He knew where he was taking us, and he took me. And I'm grateful, because in the depth of my sin and emptiness and depravity, I remembered Willie Allison, that faithful, godly woman who taught me in my fifth grade Sunday school class. She probably thought I wasn't paying any attention. But the word was being imparted. I remember Donald Dragoo and Bud Nielsen. I remember H.P. Williams. I remember Mr. Sullivan. I remember Glenn Short. I still remember because my parents made sure I was being taught. The Christian life is learning. Therefore, not only should parents be intentional for their children, now that I'm a Christian, click on, I need to be intentional as a believer, to be a learner. The key to the Christian life is not that you know it all, but that by God's grace you want to know it all. You hunger, here's the way Peter says it, you long for the pure milk of the Word, the way a nursing baby seeks its mother. You long for it with everything within you. So we are devoted to it, and we are continuing. And by the way, let me give you one other illustration from the Bible. I love it in the moment when Jesus gave one of those hard sayings and everybody turned and walked away. And then Jesus looked at his disciples and he said to them, he said, do you want to go? And Peter says this, Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of life. If you and I believe that, what would we do with this Bible? We would not only say, I need to be a learner. We would be intentional in our learning. Well, let me give you a third thing. Third thing is this. If the Christian life is learned, not only should we be intentional learners, we need faithful teachers. I've chosen the word carefully. Faithful teachers. Faithful men, the text says. We need faithful teachers. What I mean faithful? People that are faithful to God's Word, faithful to Christ, faithful to desire to live that Word for Christ. It is those people who are strong in the grace that's found in Christ Jesus that I want to see. Here's what the Bible says. When all is said and done, the pupil becomes like their teacher. Lord, I need faithful teachers. The Bible says He has gifted and called teachers. He has given people the ability to teach. Of course, He's called us as parents to teach. He's called us as teachers within the church. And then there are those who can give it away. But what I need to do is to say, God, those whom You've gifted to be strong in the grace, because nobody can teach me what they don't know. Nobody can lead me where they've not been. So Lord, please, let me realize the Christian life is learned. I need to be an intentional learner. That means I need faithful teachers. Those who are faithful to Christ, those who are faithful to the Word, and those who are faithful personally to that Word and to Christ, and who will be faithful to me to tell me what I need to hear, whether I want to hear it or not. Because there'll come a time I want my ears tickled. I need them to tell me the truth. Because they love me. And I need them to give me the truth in love. Number four, the Christian life is learned intentionally. We need faithful teachers. That means the Christian who wants to be a learner needs to choose godly teachers for their lives. They need to choose godly teachers for their lives. Now, who are your teachers? I know what the world does. The world has its teachers. They call them celebrities. And they want them to lead our children. And they want to lead you and me. They teach through music, television, movies, books, newspapers. Now, you can hear about them and see about them all the time. But Lord, I don't need cultural icons. I don't need celebrities, people who are parasites that live off of the culture. I need the people who make a culture worth living in to be my teachers. And I need to, whatever I need to sacrifice to get to them, I need them in my life. I need those mentors. I need those disciples. I need more than one. I need multiple, because with everyone's strength, you get their weakness. So I need multiple mentors and disciples. And I need to choose godly men and women of God that I can learn from. And I need to do that my whole life. I'm going to say something that I know parents are going to cringe, because if my kids did this, I'd have shot them anyway. But when I was 21 years old, my wife and I had married, and God was giving us a child. I'd become a Christian, and I just got hungry. I mean, they couldn't keep the doors of the church open enough. And I went back to East Carolina. I realized, I don't think East Carolina is going to get me too far down the road here after my comparative religion class. And I said, I need to, and then I made the third best decision of my life. Decision number one, Jesus. Decision number two, Cindy. Whew, never want to forget that. Decision number three, went to Covenant College. Drove up Lookout Mountain in January of 1972. We had $75 in our pocket, everything we owned in an 8x14 or 8x12, I can't remember, U-Haul it. I had a dog. We were expecting $75. Started school the next day, didn't have a job, didn't have a place to live. That was so, I should have been shot. That's what I should have been. But let me tell you why I went there. I heard them sing. Now, by the way, I don't mean that everybody has to go to Covenant College. Now, we might discuss that, but I know everybody has to go there. But I want to tell you why it was such a blessing. And I'm not saying I did it right, but I knew I had to get there because I heard them sing when I visited. I heard them sing, "All for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my being, all my wisdom, all my powers, all my life, all my possessions, all my hours." And I sat in the class and I heard the teachers. I had to get there. So to this day, I got Chuck Anderson as a teacher. I got Henry Crabendam as a teacher. I got Jim Boyce as a teacher. I got related to and got a chance to hear from R.C. Sproul as a teacher. I could go on and on. I now have teachers, had teachers, some of them with the Lord now, like Jim. But because I was there, I got those teachers, and there was nobody that needed them more than me. Nobody. To this day, I need it desperately. Choose teachers. Choose godly teachers, and be a verbivore that just devours everything you can. Well, let me just give you the last one, and we'll finish up. The Christian life is learned. Therefore, we not only need to be intentional, we not only need to be faithful teachers and choose for ourselves godly teachers that we can embrace in life. The Christian life is learned, therefore we need to become teachers. We need to become teachers. See what it said? "You, my son, be strong in the grace that's found in Christ Jesus. The things you've learned from me, now start giving it away. I didn't give it to you for you to go over and be self-satisfied with how much you know. I gave it to you to give away. I gave it to you to give away. And by the way, when you give it away to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Now, this is an interesting thing. You can't know Christ without learning. You can't follow Christ without learning. You can't do what's right until you know what's right. You can't know what's right without coming to the Word of God and learning it. And therefore, you need teachers, faithful teachers, godly teachers. You need to be intentional. But here's an amazing thing. You actually begin to grow geometrically when once you start learning, you commit yourself to giving it away to somebody else. It's unbelievable what happens when you start teaching. Whatever you've got that somebody doesn't have and you start giving it away, it's amazing what will happen to you. So I became a Christian a couple of years before I went to Covenant. And here's how I became a Christian. Some of you have heard it, but if you don't mind, I'm just going to kind of end up today by giving you this story, but I want to emphasize one piece of it that I don't emphasize very often. I met Cindy, and I said, man, I need to spend some time with her. And then she told me she's a Christian, and she doesn't date anybody but Christians. Well, I'm in trouble there because I'm not one. But good news is I'm not one, so I didn't mind lying, and I told her I was one. And then I was raised in a church where you had altar calls, and so I'd been forward. I mean, we'd done that. I mean, there were Sunday evening services. We're singing Just As I Am, about the 38th verse, and you know, the youth group, we'd look at each other, all right, who's going? Because if we don't go, we're never going to get to Shoney's tonight. So I'd been forward, and so, you know, but now the other thing is I got to go to church. And so I can't go back to my church because that'd blow my cover. And I couldn't go to her church because I heard they eat people there. So I picked a Presbyterian church. I said, they don't believe much. I'll slip in, slip out, Presbyterians. And I got in. I didn't know there was different kinds. This one believe the Bible. They're teaching the Bible. I get in. Everybody's got a Bible. And then the next thing I know, a couple of months later, the pastor calls me and he says, one of our elders, his wife, had a cerebral hemorrhage at the Christmas dinner table and is dying. But the girls, the four girls, she was just 39 years old. They had four little girls, said, they're asking for you and Cindy. Could y'all come? And I said, sure, we went there. And then when it was all over and I went to him after the graveside service and I went up to him and I said, Jim, I don't know. I said, I don't know what to do or say. Have you got to wash your car? What can I do? I'm new at this church stuff. And he said, Harry, I need to tell you something. And he taught me. He said, if I could bring her back, I wouldn't. I said, were you having trouble? He said, no. Known her since I was 14. He said, well, I wouldn't bring her back, and I'm going to give you the three reasons. One, what she has is so glorious, I wouldn't take it from her. Number two, God doesn't make mistakes. He's sovereign. He never tells me all things are good. He just tells me all things work together for good. And this is going to be a challenge, so I can't wait to see how he's going to pull this one off. But I'm going to see. And he said, number three, he said, it won't be that much longer till I'll be there. Where will you be? Well, I knew where I was headed. So I went to his hallway and knelt and commit my life to Christ. I said, Lord, if you can do that to people who meet something like this, and I see the truth of God's word anchor them, that's what I need. I became a believer. A week later, they made me the youth director. Now, that was more stupid than me driving up Lookout Mountain. I mean, here I got all these Presbyterian kids that are catechized and pasteurized and everything else. I thought Malachi was an Italian prophet named Malachi. And I'm in there trying to teach him. And just trying to stay a step ahead of them, you wouldn't believe the growth that happened in my life. So if God's called you, be a learner, intentional. Start giving it away. In fact, I'll just sum it up this way. Here's the takeaway. The takeaway is this, is that other than your decision to come to Jesus Christ, to be a Christ follower, other than that decision to come to Christ, the most important decision in your life that you will ever make is that by God's grace, you be a spirit-filled, lifelong learner of God's word. And there, once that happens, and what God teaches you, make a commitment to sacrificially give it away and teach others. Make a commitment to sacrificially and give it away to others. No other decision. Now I know you're sitting there, Harry, what about marriage? Gotcha. No, this is the way you'll find out who to marry. This is how you know who to look for and what you're supposed to be for them. What about my job? This will tell you how to work. This will tell you the parameters of life. This will give you the parameters for all the decisions of life. Is that you and I make a lifelong commitment. I was looking at these students, 18, 19 years old, 17, 18, 19 years old, headed out and praise the Lord for them. And I remembered a 13-year-old, 14-year-old, 15-year-old. I know that was about their age because of the Hebrew words that found themselves in a school, a pagan school, hundreds of miles away from home. And they impacted three kingdoms, five dynasties. They even were used for the conversion of a pagan king. Their names were Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They would have been in our junior high ministry when they were taken away. But they went all the way into a fiery furnace. rather than worship a pagan god. And a king saw in the furnace their god who came to the furnace for them. And he says, what kind of god saves like this? I know somebody taught those kids. I know they learned their lessons well. Then the king and empires got to see not a religion, but a God who comes into this world, even to a fiery furnace, to save us from our sins. Be a learner. Depend upon the Spirit of God. Choose your teachers well. Be devoted and start giving it away. Watch what happens.
Churches and Christians must not settle for spiritual kindergarten and Christianity 101. We strive for graduate courses and PhDs in spiritual growth as we follow God's call to grow and focus on an effective ministry of disciple making. Now, if you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's M Perspective was taken, write and request God's Call to Grow, Our Ministry of Disciple Making, or simply ask for message number 11439. Again, that's message number 11439. We do request a gift of $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD. That includes shipping and handling. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Visit us online at briarwood.org. Just like liberal Christianity before it, contemporary progressive Christianity is actually anti-Christian, claiming to rescue Christianity from cultural irrelevance while actually undermining and denying biblical truth through cultural accommodation. Harry Reeder's 9-part series, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, will help you understand this dangerous threat to the Christian faith by examining the marks of progressive Christianity and topics such as motivation, mission, and message, revoiced theology, and the tie between progressive Christianity and critical theory. To order this 9-CD album, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, go to briarwood.org/progressive CD. That's briarwood.org/progressive CD. Again, our address, In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. This is an outreach of the Briarwood Pulpit, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America, Birmingham, Alabama. Join us again next time as Harry Reeder takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.